Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I am thankful to be here, thankful for the opportunity to hear God's word being preached and hear the singing and the prayers and all these things that are pleasing and honor and glorifying to God. How many of us want to be doing things that please God? I have a feeling that I hope we all feel that way. There are times maybe we don't exactly feel that way, but I hope that's our heart's desire. That doesn't just happen. That is something that we need to walk close to the Lord and need to have a heart and a desire after the Lord to make that happen. We need to be conscious of what we're doing every day and really think. I appreciate what Brother Josh shared there. Remember, remember, remember. And we can't remember enough because we're human, and that's why we need to be in His Word every day. I spent some time lately considering what is pleasing to God by looking through scriptures that talk about being pleasing to God, knowing the will of God, doing things that are a delight or acceptable to Him. And those are all things that we can do. And that's exciting. God gave us things that we can do. We don't always feel like doing it. It might not be what our flesh says to do, but it's all things that we can do. And I'm so thankful for that. He did not make it impossible. And He's right there to help us. Let's begin with prayer. Father, it is so good to be able to be here. It's so good, Lord, to be able to look into Your Word. Father, as we look at things this morning that are pleasing to You, help us to be faithful in not only hearing these things, but doing them. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the power that You give us. And I pray, Lord, that You would just give us hearts after You. May You be honored and glorified as we look into Your Word and speak about things that You want us to be doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for a title, I put on Acts Pleasing to God. Of course, I had to think the first place to start is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we have to start with faith. Faith, without that, we have nothing. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. God gave approval to those long ago who had faith, and He does the same for us today. You know, when a sinner comes to the Lord, there's much joy and rejoicing in heaven. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walking as children of light. That's acceptable unto the Lord. To do that and to learn how to walk in the light, there's one way that I know to do that, and that is look in His Word and see what He wants us to do. It's sort of that simple. I mean, it's not easy. You have to want to do that. You have to be His to understand, but that's what we oftentimes lack in doing. You know, many times we can talk about this thing or that thing or what God might want us to do, and we can get into heated arguments or discussions. And did we look at His Word? Do we see what His Word says? Spending time with Him and His Word, I had to think of, if you have a good friend, had to think of, especially in courting. But hopefully our friend is our friend other times, and we have other friends, not just spouses. But what's one of the things that's very helpful for friendships? It's spending time together. What's very helpful for your relationship with Jesus? It's spending time with him. If you're a parent, you're pleased when your children do what pleases you and what you know pleases God. How much more should we be desiring to do things that please God? 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Accepted of him. We are accepted of him if we are his and if we are doing what he wants us to do. That should warm your heart. ISV says our goal is to be pleasing to him. Wherefore we labor. Labor here means to be actuated by love of honor, to strive to bring something to pass, to be ambitious or strive earnestly to make it one's aim. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul was praying for them to be filled with knowledge so that they could walk in a way that is pleasing to God. I hope and trust that your goal is to be pleasing to God, and I believe that we can walk through our life. We all know we make mistakes. We all know we fail at times. But I believe we can walk through life pleasing God if we are his. And that should be encouraging. And going through the scriptures, I realized that when listing many of the verses that speak of pleasing God, there seemed to be a few verses that spoke of certain things. For example, and what I would like to look at first is prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. "I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all them that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." Praying for those in authority. Giving thanks are things that are important and acceptable to God. I don't necessarily think of it that way. Oftentimes I go into prayer and I do pray for authorities, or I do some of these other things that we will talk about, and I don't always think of that. That's pleasing to God. And when your children come to you and they talk to you and they respect you and they look to you for answers and they're thankful to you, is that pleasing to you? I think it is. How hard is it to pray? Well, it's pretty hard when our minds seem to go to things in our day and we cannot stay focused. Same thing happens Sunday mornings when we're sitting in church. Stay focused. Keep our mind on what is being said. We must train our minds and learn how to put away the things of the day, whether at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. Now, God wants to hear about our day. He wants to hear what we struggle with. He wants to hear what we're thankful for. But many times, those things that come into our minds to distract our prayers, when the end of life comes, they're pretty insignificant. Now, God wants us to give them to him, but to keep a right focus is hard to do, but can be done, and we need to train our minds to do that. And one of the pits or downfalls that we have is those things called phones. Used to be TV. Most of us don't have TV, and it's computers, phones, whatever it is, tend to sometimes trip us up. But I think most of us are mature enough that we should be able to learn to give those things to the Lord and just rest in Him and speak to Him without having those things interfere with our thoughts or with our actions. We must remember that in all these things that we're going to look at this morning that are pleasing to God, and must remember that we are doing them out of a love for God and not out of duty. If you get up and you pray to Him out of duty every morning, I know sometimes I will get up and I will do that because I know it's the right thing to do. But for the most part, I do it because I know I need it, and I know that He wants me to, and I know that I love Him. Remember, there are some, when life is over, to whom God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those may be some who are doing things out of duty or of pride and didn't really know Him. The question remains, do I love Him? So we do these things out of a love for Him. Sometimes we do them out of desperation. Sometimes we do them just because we do them, but I trust that you do what you do out of a love for Him. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." When we come to prayer, do we realize how pleasing it is to the Lord? He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our hearts. He does care. And He wants us to be dependent on Him. I question if He hears the prayers of those who haven't given their heart to the Lord. There's a few exceptions, I believe. There's children before years of accountability that I believe earnestly pray to the Lord, and I think He hears that. Of course, anyone admitting they're a sinner and calling on Him for their Savior, He will hear. There's a few scriptures I'd like to look at in relation to that. Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Now, I think that that can be true for Christians that turn their back on Him, but for those that have never given their heart to Him, I kind of doubt whether He hears. Now we know that, John 9:31. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." This is the verse that the blind man was responding to the Jews when they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, I'm not sure that you can ask things in His will. Many times, they're probably in your will. How can one say the Lord's Prayer and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven," when God is not their Father? James 4:3-4 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Those who have not given their heart to the Lord, I think, are probably a friend of the world. First Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Without the Lord, without knowing Him, We can do a lot of good things, but I don't think they really count. My understanding is that the only prayer that God answers for the unbeliever is acknowledging that you are a sinner and that you need him as a savior. And it is God's will that all come to him. So if you haven't, that is his will. If you want to do his will, seek him. Give your heart to him. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" If you did not give your heart to Jesus, I wouldn't really want to be in your shoes, and I beg of you to consider the consequences of not submitting to him. Brother Joshua here just read there in Mark about the end. I wouldn't want to be facing the end without Jesus. Back to verses on prayer and pleasing God. Job 33:26-30 says, "He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God, oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living." That is some really good verses that should be encouraging if you find yourself stumbling, if you never gave your heart to the Lord and realize you need to, you can. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. The past can become the past, completely the past. That was just some really encouraging verses. He is faithful in bringing people out into the light. A second area that I see as pleasing God is praise and thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:15-21 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, understanding the Lord's will." There's an awful lot there to put into practice. So if you're not sure what to do, well, here's a place to start. Read those verses. Seeking the Lord's will, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't know about you, but at our house, if someone's singing, that's encouraging. They're singing the right things, encouraging things, things of the Lord. Psalm 69:30-31 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns." It appears here that praising him is more important than doing all kinds of feeble attempts. We can run around and do this and do that and be so busy doing, but forget, who is it that we're doing it for? Is it to make us feel good, or is it for the Lord? We must continually be reminded that it is he who saves us and not we ourselves. I'm in no way saying that means you can do whatever you want. That's exactly opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying if you love the Lord, you will do what he wants. I still believe that our love for him and an understanding that doing what he asks is a protection for us. We must, in our minds, understand that his work on the cross saves us and not our work in ourselves. Psalms 149, 1 through 5, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That particular part, I don't remember of clicking on before. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. It is interesting that in verse 4, it states, the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and how that is surrounded by praise and adoration of him. I also want to note who he beautifies with salvation. It says, it is the meek or the humble. I believe that understanding that our salvation is in Christ alone should be and is a humbling experience, and we cannot attribute our salvation to anything that we have done. It is all about Christ. There is a whole lot in the scriptures about praise and worship. And it's no wonder that it states in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Lord willing, we will be assembling tonight for that exact purpose, to come together to praise him, to build praise and adoration, and building one another up. The third area I would like us to look at is truthful, upright living. Now, there's a variety of things I have in under here. And again, we got to remember that we're doing these things because of a love for the Lord, not out of creating our own salvation. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. I don't think any of us wants to be an abomination to the Lord. We want to please him. And in so doing, we are his delight if we are being truthful. Proverbs 11:20, they that are of froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Froward means twisted, distorted, crooked, perverse. None of us wants to be that, I don't think. You may not say, or you may say, that is not me. I am basically good. Let me tell you, if you did not give your heart to Jesus, that is you. No matter how good you think you are, I think Scripture is very clear. Unless we give our hearts to Jesus, we are those things. That doesn't sound very good, but that's what our hearts are without Jesus. Upright means complete, whole, sound, unimpaired, innocent, of what is complete or entirely in accord with truth or fact. Again, if you did give your heart to Jesus and are walking in Jesus, then this is you, even though you might not feel it. But there's a very clear line there. If we didn't give our heart to Jesus, we are wicked. We are no good. If we did give our heart to Jesus, then we are all these things that pleases God. It's pretty obvious that we see more of the froward heart today in the world. It sure is waxing worse and worse, and we know that Scripture tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. I'd like to read these verses, if you can open your Bibles, to 1 Thessalonians
chapter 4.
Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, I know when we read Scripture, sometimes it's hard to focus because many times we think, I heard that before, and that's okay. I hope you heard it before, but you need to hear it again. And it's really hard to focus sometimes when you're reading Scripture because it just kind of goes through. So try to follow along and really hear what it's saying here. For ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now there's an awful lot in those verses that we just read. It starts out with us walking to please God. It goes on to speak of some ways we are to walk. It speaks of purity and holiness. It speaks of love. If we have things in our life that are not pleasing to God, we must get rid of them. We must go for counsel and find people that will take us to the Word and help us to realize how serious that is, and help us to realize how powerful the Word is, and help us to realize that is the answer. When I struggled some years ago, I had went to see a counselor, and the gentleman right away wanted to give me drugs, or pretty close to right away. And I thought, that might be a solution. That might be a quick, simple solution, but I didn't believe that was the answer. So I went to find another counselor, and he took me right to the Word. And he starts telling me things in the Word, and I thought, that is the answer. We had a neighbor when we lived in Farmingdale. The couple got a divorce, and the wife proceeded to start writing a book on marriage. And I understood she was going to travel the United States. I'm not sure what the purpose of traveling the United States was, but to meet with people and write her book and tell people about marriage. It's not the person you want to see to learn about marriage. So let's find godly people to encourage us and to help us. People that will take us to the Word. On to another verse about being acceptable before the Lord. This one speaks about the need to care for our parents. 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for
that is good and acceptable before God. I put this under upright living. This is one of those things that is very important in our lives, and I understand that probably most of us are not dealing with that. Maybe some of us are, but it's an important thing, and it's a thing that is pleasing to God. Romans 14, 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace for peace and things wherewith you may edify another. It's good to recognize that food is not the important thing, but righteousness, peace, and joy. I know that some of us have to be careful with our diets because of things that we struggle with in our health. But that's not what this is talking about, and that's not where we're going today. We need to realize the importance of righteousness, peace, and joy. It cautions us about eating food that makes people stumble spiritually. And I think it's not just food, there's other things in our life. And again, we're not going to go down that road today because there's a lot to talk about there. But we're looking at things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. Righteousness, peace, and joy are the most important, and these things bring true happiness and are acceptable to Him. Another verse that I think speaks very clearly about things that are important to God. For thou, Psalms 51, 16 and 17, another very familiar one. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit. So important. Contrite heart. That means a crushed heart, a broken heart. Anything other than a broken heart tends to be pride. And when we are living with pride in our life, we can't see our own faults. It's just the way it is. And that's part of the reason I think God hates pride, because it blocks our connection with Him. God will not despise the person with a broken heart. It is of utmost importance that we live in humility. If we are constantly blaming others for problems in our life, if you are not letting go of the past hurts, you may be dealing with bitterness. In Luke 18, Jesus told a story about two men who went into the temple looking for God's approval. The first man said a long prayer listing all that he had accomplished. The second man didn't do that because he knew his life fell short. Far short of what God requires. So this second man prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said the second man went home justified and approved by God. Do you realize you need a Savior, or do you think that you're just okay? I believe that both James and Emmanuel were speaking about this last week. For any of those that were here last week, we heard both of these things being talked about. When we hold on to bitterness or pride, God simply cannot do His work, complete work in us, because these things separate us from Him. And you'll go 1 week, and you'll go 1 month, and you'll go 1 year, or you'll go 5 years, or you'll go 10 years, and you'll still be stumbling over the same things because there's pride or things in the way. Bitterness, you cannot grow. The last one I'd like to look at here this morning as things that are pleasing to God is for the children. Now, in a sense, we're all children, but I don't know, there's not a place where you cut this off and say, okay, you're no longer a child. But if you're living at home, you probably should really consider this. There's some things here to consider. Brother Emmanuel spoke of this last week, and here it comes again this morning, because it's a thing that pleases the Lord. So any of you children, listen up. Did you know that there's something you can do every day that pleases the Lord? You know, we don't think of that as children. We feel sometimes like we're children, we do what we do, we're doing our own thing. But there's things that you can do every day that pleases the Lord. And I know that you heard this before, but it says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Part of our problem is that when we hear something, we think we know it. And that's not just children. That's us adults too. When we hear something, we think we know it. However, it's just as difficult to do. Just because we know it doesn't make it easy to do. Obviously, we have to know it to do it, but we really need to recognize what it is we need to do, and then we need to ask the Lord or ask our parents to help us. It's not always easy to do these things. And there's several reasons why this is so important, children, for obeying your parents. One, simply because God said so. That should be enough. And that should be enough for us older people. If God said it, that should be enough to say, I want to do it, because that pleases Him. Another is because it prepares you to say no to selfish things you want to do instead of listening to your parents. So children, mom or dad says, I'd like you to do this, but I don't want to do that. I am busy. I want to do this over here. So are you going to listen to self? Or are you going to listen to your parents? If you listen to your parents, then you are pleasing the Lord. Another thing is it prepares you to listen to the Lord as you grow up and do what He wants, not what you want. So by learning the discipline of listening to your parents, you are learning the discipline of listening to the Lord. Because later on in life, you might not have your parents there saying something, but the Lord will say something. Are you going to listen to Him? Are you going to do what pleases you? That's a good benefit. You can listen to your parents and learn discipline at the same time. Parents, we oftentimes affect the way children see authority. Our actions towards authority will affect them more than we think. What are we saying about authority around our children? How are we acting towards authority around our children? If we speak and act wrongly toward authority, it's a good chance your children will end up doing the same thing. May God help us in these areas of doing things that are pleasing to the Lord. That is just a start. That is just a few things that we looked at this morning of things that are pleasing to the Lord. May we each spend time in the Word every day to do what He is showing us to do. And each one of us, that might be different every day, but He is showing us to do something. And if you're in the Word, and if you're listening, and if you're praying, and if you're rejoicing, and if you're praising, and if you're being obedient, you are pleasing to the Lord.